From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A spirited protest on Friday in front of the New York City entrance to Birthright Israel resulted in 15 arrests. The group If Not Now organized the protests, led by young American Jews who are offering a counter-narrative to the right-wing American support of Israel's anti-Palestinian policies. Birthright Israel offers yearly all-expenses-paid trips to Israel from the U.S., which critics of Israel see as fulfilling a purely propaganda role. Meanwhile, on Saturday, President Trump addressed the Republican Jewish Coalition in Las Vegas, where members of the same group interrupted him with chants of "Occupation is a plague." The protests come as Israel is readying itself for an election on Tuesday. Hardline right-wing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who enjoys strong support from Trump, has promised to annex the West Bank if he wins re-election. My guest is Ilan Glickman. He's a member of If Not Now, and we'd had him on last year when he spoke about participating in the Birthright trip to Israel and then walking off that trip in protest. Welcome back, Ilan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
So let's first talk about what took place Friday. So Birthright Israel has its headquarters in New York City, and photos and videos of that event showed there were quite a number of people in the streets, but then there were about a little over a dozen people who actually physically blocked the entrance and were arrested.
Yes. So on Friday, hundreds of young Jews from around the country, many of them Jewish college students coming from University of Chicago, UC Berkeley, Northeastern in Boston, really all over the country, converged on Birthright's headquarters to offer them one last chance to choose. We wanted to really offer them the choice of us or the donors, making it clear that we, the progressive generation of young Jews, what we want is for Birthright to confront the crisis of the occupation, while their donors want them to keep going forward with a right-wing agenda that hides the occupation from really our entire generation. And so on Friday, we asked them to choose, and I think they made their decision pretty clear when they had 15 of us arrested rather than coming down and engaging with us. And so now is kind of the question, all right, Birthright made their choice. Now our generation has to make ours.
And let's watch actually a video of the protest that took place on Friday so that our audience can get a sense of what it sounded like, what it looked like.
We're gonna rise up till it's one. When the people rise up, the powers come down. When the people rise up, the powers come down.
And that's just a glimpse of the protests that took place in New York City against Birthright Israel. So that was the same organization that you last year protested in a very public way that we'd had you on to talk about when you walked off that trip in protest. But remind us of the function that it plays. This is an organization funded by Sheldon Adelson, who is very active in the U.S. political system here, right? What is Birthright Israel's function?
Right. Well, as you said, Birthright sends 40,000 young Jews to Israel a year. So it is actually the largest Jewish educational institution really in the world. And what Birthright does is that when it sends their participants over, it shows only one perspective of Israel, which is an incredibly supporting Israel no matter what kind of perspective. And they don't talk about the occupation. And so I think the question we're asking is, what does it mean that the largest Jewish educational institution in the world is hiding the occupation from our entire generation? That's the question I think we were asking really last year, last summer. And that's really what inspired me to walk off our trip, to just kind of understand that that was really unacceptable. And now that we've been asking that question, and we've been asking that question of Birthright and our institutions, we've been asking that for over a year now. And this, at this point, this is their last chance to really give us a good answer, which they've been unable to do. And so that's why we keep saying, look, Birthright, you need to choose. Either you listen to our generation, confront the crisis, or you keep siding with donors like Sheldon Adelson, who in addition to being the largest donor to Birthright, is also one of the largest donors to Trump. And what does it mean to know that those two agendas are inextricably linked by the fact that they are funded by the same people?
So the I understand that one of your main demands to Birthright Israel was to change the way that it does what it does and to stop taking money from its right-wing donors. How would you like Birthright Israel to shift the narrative? What sort of locations, if you will, in Israel should those people traveling there actually visit and see?
Well, I think the truth is that I don't work for Birthright. I'm not someone who's going to be able to decide their programming. I think what we do as If Not Now is to make it clear that what they're currently doing is unacceptable to our generation. And you can see it in a few very specific examples. You can see it in the fact that on the maps they give out, they don't mark the West Bank. That's one thing that is unacceptable. And we've made very clear that is one change they could make. All Birthright trips have a geopolitical seminar. And we're saying, all right, during that seminar, we want you to acknowledge that the occupation is a human rights crisis. They're not doing that. They could also show a checkpoint from a Palestinian perspective, show what it's actually like for millions of Palestinians who have to cross these checkpoints every single day, what they have to go through. And Birthright, once again, is refusing to even acknowledge us or our demands for them to change in this way. And so I think it's just become incredibly clear that whether or not the specific changes they make, I mean, at the end of the day, that's on them and their programming. I think what's actually concerning is that they won't even listen to our generation. And so, like I said before, they keep choosing to side with their donors who push this right-wing agenda. Now our generation has to make our choice. Well, if Birthright has obviously sided with people like Sheldon Adelson, how is our generation going to respond? I think that's the question we're currently grappling with right now.
And this is an organization that claims to represent many American Jews, if not all, right?
Yes. I mean, it's definitely the narrative right now that when, I know this happens to me a lot when I say I'm Jewish, one of the first questions is, oh, have you gone on Birthright? Because, I mean, they really do have so much money to put their narrative out there and send thousands of Jews to Israel a year. And so hopefully that question will eventually change so that my identity is not inextricably linked to this organization that's funded by right-wing donors and obscures the occupation, because that's not my Judaism. And it's really disturbing to me to know that this is how people associate Judaism with Birthright and the idea that what we do is hide the occupation from view, that we really lie to our youth. And so I think we're trying to change that and reclaim our Jewish identity from these donors.
So let's talk about what then took place a day later in Las Vegas. You have another organization that, like Birthright Israel, has a strong overlap between American right-wing policies that someone like Trump embodies and Israel's right-wing policies that someone like Benjamin Netanyahu embodies. And it was really interesting also to hear Trump during that speech refer to Netanyahu as your prime minister when he was addressing the Republican Jewish coalition. And it was at this same speech that If Not Now's members also spoke up and interrupted him. And we'll watch a video of that in just a moment. But tell us what took place on Saturday.
Well, yeah, like you said, Trump was giving a speech to the Republican Jewish Coalition, really pushing to completely close down the border. And at the same time, trying to make it seem as though Jewish people support these policies of Trump. And that's a lot of what the Republican Jewish Coalition does. It gives political cover to Trump, even though Trump has obviously expressed certain patterns of anti-Semitism, from excusing white nationalists in Charlottesville to enabling, through his rhetoric, the shooter at the Tree of Life Synagogue, to even just Saturday, claiming that Netanyahu was our prime minister, claiming that we have dual loyalty to Israel, which is a very anti-Semitic trope that we've seen people lob against other Democratic politicians. Yet when Trump does it, it's eerily silent. And so I think it's really frightening to see how Trump is trying to basically put a wedge between the Jewish people and other progressives through his rhetoric. And what we're trying to do is really disrupt that and show absolutely not, we are against Trump, we're against the occupation. And that was what our protest on Saturday was all about, showing that there is a huge block of progressive Jews who do not support Trump. And we are willing to speak out when he tries to claim that our community supports the occupation and supports white nationalism.
So let's watch a glimpse of what took place then on Saturday. This is what happened when Trump began speaking.
Jews are here to say occupation is a plan. Jews are here to say occupation is a plan. Jews are here to say occupation is a plan. Jews are here to say
And that was just a glimpse of a raucous protest at the Republican National Republican Jewish Coalition in Las Vegas on Saturday, with young members of If Not Now saying Jews are here to say occupation is a plague. They some people I noticed, Elon, during that protest were sort of physically grabbed by red MAGA hat wearing members of the audience, and then drowned out by chants of USA, USA. What happened to those protesters? Were they just led out? Were they arrested?
Yeah, they were led out of the building, and obviously it had many chants thrown at that. In addition, I don't know if you were able to hear, I'm not sure if you were able to hear this in the video, but Trump also said they will be reprimanded, when all they were doing was expressing their First Amendment right to speak out against Trump and really speak out against this horrible thing Trump is trying to do, which is try and claim that all Jewish people support his policies, which go against our moral tradition. And we're trying to speak out and make sure that it's known that while the crowd there existed and is very well funded, that there is an entire generation of young progressive Jews who vehemently disagree with the Republican Jewish Coalition, with its funders like Sheldon Adelson, and are willing to take action when we feel the need to speak up. And right then and there was the exact moment that we felt we need to speak up for Trump trying to claim that we support his border policies, which have obvious links to what's happening in Israel-Palestine right now, of trying to separate people, of claiming that Palestinians are, well, I know Trump just recently claimed that people, that South Americans are animals, and we see a similar trend happening where people try and claim that Palestinians are animals. And so what we're trying to show is that there is a connection happening, and we as Jews need to speak out against it, both here in America and in Israel-Palestine.
And I want to get to the Israeli elections briefly, but first let's stay on some more of what took place here in the United States. At that same speech where Trump spoke, he drew attention to Ilhan Omar, the Minnesota representative, Democratic freshman congresswoman, one of the two first Muslim American women in Congress, who has come under fire for daring to criticize the influence of the pro-Israel lobby. And he basically belittled her, said, oh, she doesn't love Israel, a day after a man was arrested for making a violent threat against her. How important is what he is saying, and how hypocritical is the fact that she's getting criticized as anti-Semitic?
I mean, yeah, like you said, extremely hypocritical. I could not agree more, although it's unfortunate. I mean, hypocritical is actually not even really a strong enough word or what's happening. Trump tries to claim that Ilhan Omar expresses some form of anti-Semitism when she has made every effort to be a friend to progressive Jewish people here in America. Meanwhile, Trump has not done that at all. He tries to claim that he's a friend of the Jewish people because he supports Israel and he supports the occupation. And at the end of the day, that is not supporting Jewish people. That's supporting the occupation. And we know that there's an entire there's an entire movement of Jews saying we do not support the occupation and we do not support Trump. For Trump to claim that supporting Israel means you support Jews plays into those exact anti-Semitic tropes that we as If Not Now are fighting against, and that people keep lobbying at this progressive bloc when in fact they do everything they can to reach out to the Jewish community. And so for Trump to try and claim that he's a friend of the Jewish people while in the exact same breath using dual loyalty anti-Semitic tropes, I mean, is beyond frustrating. It's truly maddening to see. And it's why we, it's so important that we're disrupting his speeches and speaking out.
So do you feel that that your organization's task is, in addition to exposing the treatment of Palestinians, also exposing Trump's anti-Semitism and the anti-Semitism of his supporters? I mean, it hasn't even been a year since the massacre at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. And there was this really interesting piece co-written by two writers for The Intercept. Actually, it was Mehdi Hassan of The Intercept with a Jewish writer whose name is now escaping me, that tried to draw common cause between Muslims and Jews here in the U.S., saying that they are, you know, they are essentially both the targets of right-wing white supremacist Trump supporters.
Yeah, I think that what If Not Now is a Jewish liberation movement. Hmm. And what that involves is both speaking out against our community when institutions support the occupation, like Birthright, like the Republican Jewish Coalition. And it also means standing up as Jews when we see anti-Semitism and white nationalism rearing its head. And to recognize that while Jews are certainly a target of white nationalism, we are not the only target. And we actually, because of the way anti-Semitism works, we end up often becoming a wedge between more of the right-wing people in our country and the progressive left. And I think that's exactly what we see happening with these attacks against Ilhan Omar. They're trying to use Jews to literally place a wedge between the Progressive Party and everyone else to try and split up the left, the progressive left that needs to be organizing in this country in order to take power back from Trump and other white nationalists who he's enabled. So I think it really is all connected. If we want to end our community support for the occupation, we need to also be building coalition with other progressive groups, speaking out against white nationalism. Because the same way we see white nationalism rearing its ugly head here in America, similar traces of racism and Islamophobia are popping up in Israel. And we need to be able to speak out against those as well. We need to reach deep into our moral Jewish tradition, learn from the wisdom, and use that to speak out when we see injustice happening in the world.
And that article, by the way, that I mentioned, the co-writer with Mehdi Hassan is Jonathan Friedland. The article is "Muslims and Jews Face a Common Threat from White Supremacists. We Must Fight It Together," co-published by The Guardian and The Intercept. Let's talk about the elections that are taking place and the announcement made by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he would annex the West Bank if he were to win re-election. For those not in the know, how significant is that? The West Bank is home to, I understand, 2.6 million Palestinians, one of the two main Palestinian territories left.
I think it's something to take very seriously. It's a really terrifying escalation in what's happening. And I think a large part of it has to do with how Trump and U.S. policy has enabled the Israeli occupation to continue and worsen, particularly over the past 2 years during the Trump administration. And the question that If Not Now is asking to our community is, when are we going to finally speak up and say that this is unacceptable? When are our institutions going to say that, all right, now finally Bibi has like crossed a line that we cannot support anymore? And we've seen it happen over and over again where they've been frighteningly silent, whether it was in Gaza when Israel was bombing Gaza in 2014, when Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and now when Bibi is claiming that he's going to annex the West Bank. These are all terrifying escalations, and our institutions keep remaining silent, believing that they need to support Israel at all costs. And we know that that is actually a betrayal of our Jewish tradition to blindly support Israel and the Israeli occupation. And that if we're going to actually show that the next generation of Jews and make sure that they are connected to this tradition, we need to be speaking out. And so what we're trying to say is there have been way too many times, way too many opportunities for our institutions to finally push back against Bibi, against Israel, against its increasing escalation of the occupation. And if they're not going to do it, then our generation needs to take leadership and speak out. And that's what we're doing when we disrupt Birthright, when we disrupt Trump and the Republican Jewish Coalition. We are taking the leadership that we unfortunately do not see in our community. And we really want to see more of it. But if it's not there, then somebody needs to step up. And this move by Netanyahu, what it is, it's a call to step up and speak out and say, this is not what we support. We do not support Israel increasing the occupation, making the daily nightmare that Palestinians experience even worse. We cannot let that happen in our name.
And Ilan, isn't it true that here in the United States, there, you know, even if you don't have active participation in groups like If Not Now by a majority of American Jews, that there is this opposition to Israel's hardline policies? We get this impression if we listen to Republicans and we listen to Trump that all Jewish Americans are unquestioningly pro-Israel's hardline policies towards Palestinians. But that isn't true, is it?
Absolutely not. And I think what you see a lot of is a lot of people who are scared to speak up because it is such a divisive issue in our community. And I mean, I know myself, whenever I speak up about it on social media, immediately I'm called a self-hating Jew. I'm called a capo, which is a name for the Jews who kind of administrated the concentration camps in Nazi Germany.
Wow.
A very common insult thrown at us. And this is how divisive it's gotten in our community. And I think up until recently, it's felt like if you speak up, then you are isolated from the community, you are excommunicated. And only in the past, it seems recently, has there been such an upsurge of people who are coming together to speak out so that when you do speak out, you're not alone. You're actually backed up by thousands of other young Jews who agree with you. And you have common language and community with these people to try and transform our community. And so I think it's absolutely true that unfortunately the loudest people do seem to express these undeniably pro-Israel views and support the occupation. But I think now with movements like If Not Now, we're becoming a voice that's hopefully even louder and more true to how our generation feels when it comes to ending our support for the occupation and building a Jewish future that no longer supports the occupation, no longer supports Netanyahu, and certainly doesn't support Trump.
And then finally, also, Ilan, are you heartened by the fact that this issue is actually breaking into presidential politics here in the United States? You had, you know, Bernie Sanders and several other presidential contenders for 2020 notably skip the AIPAC conference because of Ilhan Omar's comments. You're seeing a discussion in the media now about Israel's treatment of Palestinians and Netanyahu's right-wing policies. And this is not something that we really see happening in electoral politics in the U.S.
I think it's a conversation that is long overdue. For too long, groups like AIPAC have had a strong handle on politicians and made it seem like the second you speak out against Israel, they are going to organize their base against you and make you lose a lot of money. And now, finally, politicians are seeing that there is a huge base of Jewish supporters who do not want undeniable support for Israel. In fact, they want the U.S. to stop supporting the occupation. And thank God for that, because now these politicians feel that they can speak out against Israel and criticize Israel when Israel is doing awful things like enforcing occupation. And you do see a lot of politicians out there speaking finally with the courage to speak out against it. And so that makes me extremely hopeful and shows me that our generation is powerful in what we can say and in what we can express, and that we're finally being listened to. And so I'm very excited to see how it unfolds and to hopefully see more politicians having the courage to speak out, because they know that they have the backing of our generation when they oppose the occupation, because that's exactly what we want them to do.
Give out a website for If Not Now.
Absolutely. You can go to ifnotnowmovement.org. We have a call coming up on Wednesday to talk about what's next for our movement now that we just had these big actions on Friday and Saturday. We're going to talk about how do we go even bigger and continue pushing Birthright and the Republican Jewish Coalition to build out a Jewish future that we all want to see, that we can all agree with, that no longer supports the occupation.
That's ifnotnowmovement.org. Elon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Elon Glickman, active member of If Not Now, and he was one of several people who walked off a trip organized by Birthright Israel last year in protest of Israeli oppression of Palestinians. He was also participating in last Friday's New York City demonstration against Birthright Israel and blocking off its headquarters. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Are You With Sonali?